You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. You made it to the end of the week. And this is the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, of course, a little bit of Orioles notes to get to you, plus the big baseball news from the week, the trade between Cleveland and the Mets. And then coming up a little bit later, we've got a crossover episode here on the podcast. Of course, the Ravens here in Baltimore have made the postseason for the third consecutive year. They will take on the Titans in the NFL's wildcard round this Sunday. So we're going to have a special guest from Locked On Ravens join the pod to talk to us about that game and kind of preview it a bit. If you have no interest in football or not a fan of the Ravens or the Titans, you know, this might not be for you, but we're going to plug that Locked On Ravens podcast and do a little crossover Baltimore episode a little bit later. But first, we got to talk the baseball news, and it starts with the Orioles. Not much big news, but the Orioles did announce yesterday that they're going to host a mini camp down in Sarasota next week, January 11th through the 13th. It's going to be a little camp for outfielders, kind of an interesting thing to do to really maybe try and get these guys to separate themselves, because as we've talked about multiple different times, you know, even brought it up on Wednesday talking about, you know, it's not really the time for the Orioles to sign a guy like Yasiel Puig that they've been connected to because of the jumble they have in the outfield. The Orioles, you would think, are using this minicamp to try and, you know, start to separate these guys as we get closer and closer to spring training. So Yusnail Diaz, Ryan McKenna, Ryan Mountcastle, DJ Stewart, and Stevie Wilkerson will all head to this minicamp for 3 days down in Sarasota. There'll be a group of coaches, including first base and outfield coach Anthony Sanders, who will be down there. And, you know, we will see if this helps the Orioles separate at all. I mean, all these guys, except for Wilkerson, are on the 40-man, and of course Stevie will get his shot in spring training as well, and it's been with the O's in the majors over the last couple of years. But we will see. You know, there's questions about Yusnail Diaz's defense. Obviously, we want Ryan Mountcastle to improve his defense. DJ Stewart, you know, maybe not a lost cause defensively yet. We know he's got a strong arm. And then you can see, you know, how Ryan McKenna stacks up, because McKenna has been, you know, on this 40-man roster, but we haven't gotten to see him at the major league level yet. And, you know, it would seem like when you know, do something like power rank all the Orioles outfielders on the 40-man, Ryan McKenna is usually going to come in last in that ranking, but he is on that 40-man roster for a reason. And, you know, there's a good chance we see him in Baltimore in 2021. So the question is, how does he stack up with these other guys? And does, you know, he have a long-term chance to stick with the Orioles as one of their, you know, not top prospects, but a guy that they like currently in the minor league system? So we'll see if, you know, the outfield minicamp does answer, you know, any questions for the Orioles. Now, the other piece of news for the O's, you know, something we had mostly known already, but the Orioles did officially announce their 2021 coaching staff earlier this week. Of course, Brandon Hyde is back as the Oriole manager, but, you know, a couple of changes and some guys in some new positions as well. So you start with Chris Holt, who, you know, gets the big promotion this year. He was, you know, the Orioles director of pitching in the minor leagues over the last couple of years, but he has been promoted to the Orioles pitching coach. So Chris Holt, you know, 41 years old, more of an analytics driven guy, you know, not a big name in the pitching world as far as former players go, but Holt will be the Orioles pitching coach. He will be in uniform in the dugout. He will also still serve as the director of pitching for the Orioles. So we'll see how he kind of balances those roles, but he will be pitching coach for the O's. And this is something a lot of teams are doing with both their pitching coaches and their hitting coaches. You know, instead of going with guys who have, you know, been in the bigs for 20 plus years, were major league players, then worked their way through the system as minor league coaches and names, you know, it's more guys who have taken the analytical look, you know, are looking, you know, deep into the launch angles and the swing paths and fixing guys' swings and outside hires as well. And, you know, on the pitching side, you know, looking a lot into, you know, what goes into to spin rate and you know, making a better pitcher. And Chris Holt kind of falls into that category somewhat, and he will be the Oriole new pitching coach, and we'll see how it works out for the O's in 2021. Darren Holmes will be Chris Holt's assistant pitching coach this year. Don Long does return as the hitting coach, and Jose Hernandez is the assistant hitting coach for the Orioles. Freddie Gonzalez is back with the O's as Brandon Hyde's bench coach as well. Of course, Freddie, the former Atlanta Braves manager when they were winning divisions back in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And then at third base, the new hire, Tony Mancelino, will be the Oriole third base coach. He had risen quickly through the Cleveland organization over the last few years, started in 2016 as a low-A manager, and each year he moved up a level. 2017, high-A manager, 2018, double-A manager, 2019, he was the manager of the AAA Columbus Clippers. And then in 2020, Mancelino got promoted to Cleveland's big league staff, and he worked as an assistant with Cleveland during the shortened 2020 season, and now the Orioles scoop him up to be their third base coach. And Anthony Sanders returns to the club. He will be the first base coach, and then Tim Cossens is the final coach in uniform as the Major League field coordinator and also the catching instructor for the Orioles. So that's a look at your 2021 Oriole coaching staff. Obviously, the big moves, Chris Holt to pitching coach, and then adding Tony Mancelino to third base for the Orioles. So we'll see what kind of effect it has for the O's going into 2021, but, you know, excited about the changes. And we'll see, you know, really how Chris Holt can work with these pitchers. And, you know, it seemed to be working what he was doing with them at the alternate site last year and in the minors over the last couple of years. We'll see if he can translate it to the big leagues while also, you know, holding that director of pitching title. But, you know, outside of the Orioles, another big move in Major League Baseball this week. We saw the Padres making the big moves a couple weeks ago. Yesterday, it was the Mets. They pull off, you know, at this point, what is the biggest trade and the biggest move of the offseason? And that's including the Padres, who traded for both Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. This is a bigger trade and a better player. The Mets acquiring Francisco Lindor from Cleveland in a trade yesterday. Mets ended up sending four players over to Cleveland, a couple of major leaguers, Andrés Giménez, who a young infielder who came up this year, actually had a pretty good series against the Orioles, and really, Giménez did shine in his first, you know, shortened season at the majors and could be a good piece. Amed Rosario is also going to Cleveland, of course, a shortstop who's been with the Mets in the bigs for a few years now, had a really good 2019, but didn't follow it up last year. He's also shown he can play some center field, but he's probably at least the short-term solution at shortstop for Cleveland. They also get Josh Wolf, a right-handed pitcher, and Isaiah Green, an outfielder, a couple of second-round picks by the Mets in the last two drafts. And then, you know, you look at the trade, not only do they get Francisco Lindor, one of the best players in baseball, maybe the best shortstop in the game right now, but Cleveland also throws in Carlos Carrasco, who, of course, you know, it had some great seasons helping lead Cleveland to the World Series in 2016. Of course, he had a cancer diagnosis, but he did beat cancer and made it back to the mound in 2020. Didn't seem like exactly the same pitcher when he made it back, but still had some good stuff. And for the Mets, you know, he's probably going to be New York's number four starter in their rotation, and a pretty good number four starter at that. So you add in Carrasco with Lindor, and all you have to give up is, you know, two infielders who wouldn't play much because you just acquired Lindor and you already have Jeff McNeil, and then just two prospects who weren't any of the Mets' top five prospects, according to MLB.com. So quite a haul for the Mets. And now, you know, with this being the last year on Lindor's contract in 2021, the Mets turn to Steve Cohen's pockets and, of course, will try to extend Lindor to a long-term deal. But for Cleveland, they continue to trade away these players when they get close to extension time, and we've seen the Rays do it. We see Cleveland do it, just not wanting to lock up their stars and unfortunately not spending money on you know, their franchise centerpiece and icon for years now. He is now a New York Met. But that'll be it for baseball talk here on the pod today, as we're going to take a break coming up here, and then after the break, Kevin Ostreicher, he is the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and he's going to join us after the break for a chat about the Ravens' upcoming wild card round playoff game in the NFL. They take on the Titans on Sunday, a rematch of last year's playoff game in which the number one seed Ravens were knocked out by Tennessee, and we're going to talk about that matchup, preview it a bit, and we're going to do some football and Ravens talk coming up after the break in a crossover episode here on the Locked On Podcast Network with the host of Locked On Ravens. So we're going to be talking about the NFL playoffs shortly as they are starting this weekend with six games around the NFL. And if you're interested in placing maybe a wager on one or two of these games, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. So of course, coming up here with Kevin, we're going to be talking about the Ravens and Titans game Sunday at 1 o'clock on ESPN and ABC. So we look at the betonline.ag line for this game, and it's Ravens -3, even though Baltimore going on the road to Tennessee. Of course, the Ravens have won 5 in a row, and they've got the Ravens favored by 3 points in this one on Sunday. So if you're interested in placing a bet on that game or any of the NFL games this weekend, plus college football action, the national championship game Monday, and college basketball and NBA in full swing, we don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. And, you know, one reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like a mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the same exact auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Instead, you can go to rockauto.com. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks, and it's delivered right to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And make sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so we are joined by Kevin Ostreicher here on the pod. A little bit of a special crossover event. The two Locked On podcast hosts in the Charm City getting together for today's episode. And first of all, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the Crosstown podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, Connor. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to do this one. Two Baltimore teams with very rich histories, and the Ravens are hoping to add to that history come Sunday and hopefully in February, too.
Yeah, so we bring you on when, you know, been thinking about having you on, obviously, throughout this, obviously, what became a COVID-ridden Ravens season, but they finished with 5 wins in a row. They make it to the postseason for the third straight year with Lamar Jackson, and they get the rematch with the Titans. But we're going to talk about all that a little later, but I just kind of wanted to give you the floor first. You are the host of Locked On Ravens here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm sure most people who listen to Locked On Orioles, if they do watch the NFL, are most likely Ravens fans. So just want to give you a sec to kind of plug what you're doing over at Locked On Ravens, especially as the playoffs start up. So if people haven't started listening to your podcast yet, they can be enticed to go check that one out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I am the host of Locked On Ravens. We put out content 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We post at 6 a.m. Eastern time, so it's always there at a set time. And yeah, we do a bunch of stuff. We do stuff along the lines of, during the season at least, injury reports. We go into game recaps, game previews, a bunch of guests throughout the season. And then in the offseason, when things slow down a bit, obviously there's free agency, the draft. It's a 365-day podcast. It's 5 days a week, so for Ravens fans, if you are an Orioles fan, you also like the Ravens, then Locked On Ravens is the show for you. We're on Twitter at Locked On Ravens, and my personal account on Twitter is at ChaosStriker34. I post on there any historical perspectives, Ravens news, analysis, updates, and just a bunch of stuff throughout the whole season. So the Locked On Ravens podcast is something that I'm very fortunate to be doing and something I enjoy, and just getting my opinion on the Ravens out there. And it doesn't hurt that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are a pretty successful football team and overall franchise.
Yeah, it does not hurt, and it's been fun for us. And I know some of you out there listening, I know we have some Washington football team fans in our audience. I know we have some Eagles fans in the audience as well. But you know what? Those are two teams with losing records this year, and I am a Ravens fan, of course, as well, and so we wanted to talk Ravens. But I will say, Kevin, props to you for the you know, the 6 a.m. every day, not only the consistency, but the fact that, you know, it's up in the morning and ready to go. You know, we're into the off season 3 days a week right here on Locked On Orioles. And I'm trying for that consistency, but it's not 6 a.m. every day. So that's another perk. You know, you wake up and there's your Ravens coverage right there.
Yeah, exactly. And especially now when there's just so much excitement surrounding the team. Obviously, they get off to a bit of a mediocre, kind of slow-ish start. The whole COVID thing happened, as you mentioned, Connor. And now the Ravens on that five-game winning streak heading into the playoffs, they're hot. So having Ravens content, it's something that I love doing, something that I love putting out there every day. And it's just an exciting time right now.
Yeah, and so now we kind of look forward to the weekend. You know, it's Ravens and Titans again. It's a little different this year. You know, obviously the two teams matched up last year. The Ravens had put together the best regular season in team history. They were 14-2. They were the number one seed coming off of a bye in the first round. The upstart Titans had just upset the Patriots. And, you know, the Ravens were right around 10-point favorites in that game last year. And Tennessee came in and took it to them, 28-12 win. You know, it's the same two teams mostly when you look at the rosters, but obviously, you know, different storylines. This year, Tennessee, a division winner, the Ravens had to get in a wild card. So I just kind of wanted to start with this. For you, how much different does the matchup feel this year, despite it being the same two teams who look, you know, each pretty similar, at least roster-wise?
Yeah, Connor, this matchup is something where the rosters didn't undergo a ton of turnover on either side. Tennessee lost a couple of key defensive players and players like Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan. But when you look at it, the Ravens and Titans have matched up three times in the last calendar year. It was the playoffs. They played a little bit earlier this season. And both those times, Tennessee did get the better of Baltimore. In the second time around, I'll kind of focus more on the 2020 matchup because, one, the playoff matchup still hurts my heart. And two, just the overall rosters, they're similar to what happened in 2020, week 10, week 11. For the Ravens, they were up in this game. They went up big by two scores, I think. It was 14 points. Then Tennessee comes storming back in the fourth quarter. And the narrative all year for Baltimore, really ever since Lamar Jackson took the helm, is when the Ravens get up big, they are almost impossible to stop because they chew clock, they run the ball effectively, they're able to work their pass game in. And despite that, the Ravens offense couldn't score points. The Ravens defense couldn't stop giving up points. And that all just combined made it so the Ravens ended up losing in overtime. Once you get into overtime with Derrick Henry, it's just game over. You can't tackle that mammoth of a man. So Baltimore's had issues this season consistently tackling. Their defense has had issues consistently playing football for 60 minutes in or at a high level. So for the Ravens, I think the key here in this game, and you look back to the playoffs, when you look back to the 2020 matchup earlier in the year, it's finish. Get off to an early start. The Ravens in the playoff game, I'll talk about that a little bit. First possession, the Ravens are driving down the field. Lamar Jackson throws a pass to Mark Andrews on the left side of the field. Mark Andrews is injured. He pretty much has hobbled the entire game. Can't get up for the pass. It's an interception for Tennessee. Tennessee runs it back. Lamar Jackson, I think it was a face mask or a horse collar, and that adds on 15 yards. The momentum shifts from the Ravens all the way to Tennessee, and Baltimore was never able to get the ball back. So for the Ravens, setting that early tone, finishing plays, tackling well, they're all key points in this game. So when you look at the Ravens in their playoff matchup last year, in the game this year, in 2020, a little bit earlier, the Ravens, they could have pulled both off. It was just a matter of a couple of things not going their way, and that's really every game and every sport. But in this one, maybe the ball bounces Baltimore's way this time, along with some good play.
Yeah, we know how each team is built. The Ravens just rushed for 400 yards to get themselves into the postseason, a franchise record in the blowout win over Cincinnati in Week 17. And the Titans have the best running back in football right now in Derrick Henry. He is a monster. And, you know, it feels like, now, obviously, the Ravens had a double-digit lead, as you said, in the regular season matchup this year, and the Titans came back to win. But the way both these teams are playing right now, it does seem like if anybody gets out to, I don't know if I want to say double-digit, but if anybody can get out to a two-touchdown lead at any point in this game, just feels like the way the offenses are built, that might be it, just because of how well both of these teams can run the ball and chew clock off.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, Connor. It's something where I actually said that was one of the keys to the game in the earlier matchup, and the Ravens did it and still lost, so it's never a guarantee. But the Ravens and the Titans, you mentioned, they're both very similarly built. the Ravens have just been a historic rushing franchise ever since Lamar Jackson entered the realm. And for the Titans, Derrick Henry is just, I don't even have enough words to describe how much of a beast he is. So for the Ravens, for the Titans, the identities of both of these offenses is to chew clock, keep the opposing defense on the field, make sure that they're tired throughout the game. So when you get to the fourth quarter in Tennessee's point of view against a team like the Ravens, where their defensive linemen are starting to get tired and they're not wanting to tackle anymore, that's when the Titans kill you and ultimately seal the game. For the Ravens, on the opposite side, it's pretty much the same thing. You can bring in a sledgehammer in Gus Edwards. You can bring in somebody like J.K. Dobbins, who has deceptive speed and elite balance. Mark Ingram, if he's active, and who knows if that's a given anymore. But if he's in there, he can provide you with a change of pace. The Ravens' offense is built to sustain leads. It's built to hold leads that they get out too early. But in the offseason, the Ravens went out and acquired Calais Campbell. And for the Titans game earlier this season, he wasn't even there. He was injured with that calf injury. Brandon Williams, who has a profound impact on this Ravens defense when he's out there, and when he's not out there, you can notice it, kind of like Jimmy Smith does. He wasn't out there either. So the Ravens missing their top two run defenders against the Tennessee Titans earlier this season. They get those guys back right now. So hopefully that provides them with a boost. But you mentioned it, Connor. The Ravens offense, the Titans offenses are both built to kill when they get big leads.
Now, I got to say one more thing I wanted to ask you is I think it's on the minds of a lot of Ravens fans. You know, they rattled off this 5-game winning streak. And, you know, the Cleveland win obviously turned the season around for the Ravens on Monday Night Football. But when you look at the schedule, the next four teams they played, it really wasn't too difficult, you know, to get, you know, really the final three wins of this streak down the stretch. And the Cleveland win was not a way you expect the Ravens to win games, a 47-42 game. So, you know, what do you feel like is kind of the level of concern that, you know, yes, the Ravens are on this winning streak and playing well, but they haven't seen anybody who can really A, stop the run, and they really haven't, you know, seen a good offense. And when they did in Cleveland, you know, they burned them for 42 points.
Yeah, it's a good point, Connor. And with the NFL, this is really an every week league. So there is a point to be made about, yeah, the Ravens, they play Jacksonville and the Giants and the Bengals. Those are three teams who the talent level will never be there in the playoffs. That's just not what goes on there. There are going to be good teams like the Titans who you have to face every week. For the Ravens earlier in the season, I'll look at run defense first. The Ravens are one of the best run-stopping units in the NFL with pretty much any team they faced. It didn't matter who. Outside of the Kansas City game was really the one horrible, terrible loss Baltimore took all season. Outside of that game, before Calais Campbell goes down against the Colts, the Ravens were stopping everyone and anyone, for the most part, in the ground game. So with the Ravens getting healthy on defense, the Ravens have been decimated by injuries, by COVID. There was a subpar play. So for the Ravens to go out there and pretty much dominate three opponents at the back half of their schedule who they were supposed to dominate, I mean, that's a good sign. You never want to be a team like the Browns or somebody like that who goes in, faces the Jets, and ultimately loses because either they overlooked them, they didn't take them seriously, or the Browns just did not have the talent level. So with the Ravens and with their schedule, there is some concern about, okay, they haven't faced a quote-unquote good team in a few weeks. But at the same time, Connor, the playoffs, I believe, it's just a whole new season. We saw the Ravens 14-2 last year, have the bye week. They come out against Tennessee and just absolutely put on a terrible performance. So for the Ravens, now we're getting into the competition part. If they beat Tennessee, it's likely they're playing Buffalo in the second round, and that team is just eons above what the Cincinnati Bengals are this season. So it's going to be an uptick in talent every single week. But in terms of my concern level, sure, it's in the back of my mind. But Connor, I think with the playoffs, with the way that the NFL is an every week league, I don't see it as too much of a concern. I just think Baltimore has to go out there, play good football. Don't overlook the Titans. The Titans defense has been atrocious this year, but they always seem to have the Ravens number in a way. So for the Ravens, they just have to go out there and play good football.
Yeah, we know the Ravens have had success in Tennessee in the postseason. I saw you tweeted out today was the anniversary from the football season, or from the Super Bowl season in 2000 with Ray Lewis and the big pick six in Tennessee. And then, of course, Joe Flacco's rookie year, the Titans were the number one overall seed, and the Ravens went in there and won in the divisional round. But, you know, the way I see it, we kind of talked about it before we started recording, how, you know, my nervous level is basically, you know, around that the aura around Lamar Jackson, if the Ravens lose this game as well, is that he can't win in the playoffs. And, you know, it's going to start to stick a little bit, because when you do get there 3 years in a row and, you know, you're potentially the favorite in all three games and you can't get it done, that's going to start to come up for Lamar. But, you know, my thought is, first year was the rookie year for Lamar. You know, not too many expectations in the postseason. Last year, maybe, you know, they looked down upon the Titans a little bit and they were the number one seed. This year they get to go on the road. This Ravens team plays really, really well away from home. For some reason, I feel a little bit better about this game. So, Kevin, before I let you go, I got to get a score prediction from you for Sunday's game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, this game for me, Connor, I think it's going to be a high-scoring one. Just the way that the Titans defense is playing, this is a big matchup for the Ravens offense to go out there and prove that, look, Tennessee doesn't have our number. Sure, we lost the last two games, and one of them was a pretty big one. But the Ravens have a chance at revenge for the losses they've taken recently. Now with their third matchup in a calendar year, this is the time for the Ravens to shine, especially their offense. And the way the Ravens are playing right now, they got hot at exactly the right time. And there were a lot of questions last year about the Ravens and John Harbaugh's decision to sit the starters in week 17, and, you know, how that would affect the team in terms of momentum, and apparently it affected them in a negative way. So now with the Ravens playing pretty much with no hiccup in their schedule at all, with the Ravens offense humming, with the Titans defense not being great at the moment, I do think that the Ravens go out there and put out a ton of points, but at the same time, Tennessee's offense is no slouch, and I think that at the end of the day, you have to look at Tennessee's offense as a serious threat. Ryan Tannehill is severely underrated. A.J. Brown is a beast. Corey Davis is underrated as well. And Derrick Henry, we've talked about him for almost this entire segment. So for the Ravens, I do think they win this game. I just think they're playing good football right now, and that is the key. Which team has the momentum? And that team right now is Baltimore. Tennessee almost lost to Houston. If not for that, you know, prayer of a throw Tannehill threw to A.J. Brown at the end of that Texans game in week 17. So I'm going to go with Ravens 38, Titans 35.
I like that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, even though the Titans did look very iffy against what is honestly Deshaun Watson and not a good roster after that with the Texans, this is still going to be a close game because the Titans, you know, are going to be there for it. And these two teams, you know, it was an older rivalry, you know, 15, 20 years ago. It's starting to look like it's turning into that again. I'm going to say this game comes down to the foot of Justin Tucker and a 34-31 Ravens victory to get that first playoff win for Lamar and get into the divisional round. But Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you Ravens fans out there who are Baltimore fans through and through enjoyed this. For those of you who aren't Ravens fans and are still listening at this point, you must just really like us. But Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Connor. It was a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to doing this again before the Orioles season starts.
So again, our thanks to Kevin, the host over there at Locked On Ravens, here on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're a Ravens fan and getting set for Sunday's game, hope you enjoyed it. If you're not a fan of the Ravens, the Locked On Podcast Network does have a podcast for all 32 NFL teams, Locked On Washington Football Team, Locked On Eagles as well for some of the teams a little closer to Baltimore. And again, it does have every single team in the NFL. But again, you know, some of you are going to just enjoy the six games this weekend in the NFL, and some of you might be watching them a little more closely, maybe placing a bet or two on the games this weekend. But, you know, 2020, it's mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. And if you're betting this year and maybe betting on the NFL playoffs this weekend and you want some more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Again, that's Locked On Bets right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And before we go here on Locked On Orioles, of course, on Wednesday's episode, I had mentioned that we'd be back on Thursday to talk Ravens with Kevin and preview that game on Sunday. But Kevin and I talked, and of course, after the events of Wednesday, kind of pushed our podcast back after the coup and, you know, frankly, the domestic terrorism that went on at the U.S. Capitol in D.C. But if you're looking to help out, you know, the marginalized communities in D.C., and do some good. Have some places that you can donate and put your money to. The Total Liberation Collective in D.C., a group of D.C. direct actioners that need your support right now. The Total Liberation Collective, a predominantly black organization that vehemently opposes the systems of power that marginalize people all over the globe. And they're looking for support to help for food and water, medical supplies, pandemic PPE, protest aftercare, mutual aid, long list of things. If you want to donate, you can Venmo to at TL Collective DC on Venmo to donate. If you have Cash App and you want to send some money, it's money sign TL Collective DC. Again, Venmo at TL Collective DC and Cash App money sign TL Collective DC. You can also check them out on Instagram at tlcollective.dc, where you can find all the information there if you want to help the folks out down in the district and send some help and some money to our neighbors down there. But that's going to do it today here on the Locked On Orioles podcast. We'll be back next week, back with you on Monday. You know, we talked some Ravens today. Hopefully I'll be in a good mood and Lamar Jackson will have his first playoff win by then. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.